Welcome to the Iron Basketball Podcast, the Pick and Roll Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Harper. Matt Moore, I just would like to confirm that you have not been traded for Omer Sheik, even though everybody else in the world is rumored to be. How's it going?
Yeah, for some reason, Houston just doesn't have any interest in me. I don't know why. It's disappointing.
You're a Texas kind of guy.
I find this to be the funniest thing that could, like, I'm sorry. Omer Sheik is a very good defensive player, and I know everyone loves him. He's this darling of this, and when he was for Chicago, I thought he was worth it because the contract was really cheap. When you factor value for dollar amount, he's a mediocre player that is holding up like every GM in the league right now. Just every GM is basically waiting for this deal to go through. It's like the Melo trade, only it's Omer freaking Sheik.
I mean, the thing is that I think there are teams where you could say, like, you add a really good defender who can dominate the boards. You add that guy to their rotation. That helps them in title contention. Like, that's a very valid thing, and so I get his value in that sense. But, I mean, the guy catches with oven mitts. Like, he has no hands. He literally doesn't have hands. He has fish hooks.
And I made this point this morning, and I was trying to make it on Twitter, which, of course, is difficult for numerous reasons, including 140 characters. I'm trying to think of a good example here. I'll even take a modern example, right? Von Miller for the Denver Broncos.
Yes.
Is an exceptional defensive end with problems with his attitude and off-court issues and really production overall. But generally speaking, is considered to be a very good defensive player, right?
Yes.
He has more value to a team like Baltimore or the Seahawks.
Chicago.
Yeah. A team that really relies, even Chicago's defense hasn't been great this year. A team that has defensively focused, that they want to win those 17-7 games versus a team like Denver that's lighting up things. And it's kind of similar in that if you're the only good player on a bad defensive team, I think you lose value. And the idea is last year that the only reason that the Rockets were any good defensively was because of Omer Sheik, and that's actually kind of true. Like, if you look at it, he was all the lineups with him were the lineups where everything worked defensively, and that's great, and he can make that kind of an impact. But for other teams, you're going to have a balance, and it's not like in the NFL where you only play defense. So if he goes to Atlanta or Cleveland or Boston, especially for what they're going to have to give up, he has to be able to produce offensively, and he can't do that.
I mean, I think the problem is that because of the contract he has, which I defended the contract at the time, I still think it's a good contract. They ended up getting Dwight, making it a weird situation. But let's say they swing and miss on Dwight and they still have the same team they had last year. That's a good team, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's a playoff team. They're a year together, a year longer together. Like, it made sense at the time and it still makes sense to me. It's just they've managed to upgrade and now they've got too many centers that need minutes, right?
Yeah.
Like, they've got two guys who you could play heavy minutes to, and obviously you're going to play Dwight more because, I mean, we've discussed that. But there's a certain point where it's like, the interest in him and the buzz around him does not warrant what's going to happen after that.
Yeah.
And I think that's the frustrating thing. And the fact that it is, like you said, it is holding up, several deals and several possible dominoes around the league. That for someone like myself who hates trade rumors, I just want that domino to get punched over so we can start seeing the other ones fall. Because it's he's a fine player. He can help teams. I think he's a starting center in this league for sure. And he's a starting center for a good team. Like, I believe in all that. But I mean, damn, he is a one-way player, and he's not Ben Wallace. It's not like he's this transcendent one-way player. He's a really good one-way player. But we're not talking 2004 Ben Wallace by any means.
And I have to admire Daryl Morey, who's basically like lifting his trade value by calling teams and then leaking to the press that he's talked to teams.
Oh, yeah. Because that's all all it takes is one team thinking they're missing out on this guy to up their offer and get a deal done. And that, I mean, it's What Houston is doing through the media, assuming they are it benefits them. We talk about how you've got to look into where the rumors are coming from or where it looks like they're coming from, and because there's no pressure to deal him now. You kind of have to, you have to stir up that pressure by imposing a trade deadline for yourself. By then, I don't know, possibly leaking out information to the media about, hey, this team is maybe offering this. We may be close with this team, and then it, you know, you start just generating a panic to get all. I mean, you just need one team to be like, you know what, we'll be the ones that up the offer, and we're gonna get this done.
Everyone's buying sheep futures. I better go buy some sheep futures. It's peer pressure.
It kind of feels like wag the dog. That's what, yeah, I would say.
Two guys that, and anyone that says I definitively know this team will not trade for this person is lying to you, because no GM is going to be 100% honest with the media. And I've seen situations where a team will tell a reporter, this has good connections, we are absolutely not doing this, and then they do it, and that reporter's like, well, great. You know, what's the reporter going to do to them? Like, I'm not going to write about you anymore, which is my job. You know, there's nothing they can do. But two guys that I would be phenomenally surprised if they get moved are Ryan Anderson for the Pelicans and Paul Millsap for the Hawks.
Ryan Anderson ain't going anywhere.
Yeah.
He's. I mean, you would have to bowl them over with an offer. That guy has so much value right now around the league, and everybody knows it. And he has so much more. And again, not a knock on Ashiq, but he just has so much more value than Ashiq.
Monty Williams basically was like, like, he was essentially like, thank God we have Ryan Anderson. Like, that was pretty much like his entire thing, especially with their injuries. Like, they couldn't survive. If they moved Anderson, like, they would be, they're already up S Creek. They'd be in even worse trouble if they moved Anderson. There's no way that happens.
They got blown out by the Warriors last night, and there was like all of a sudden this little backlash of, at least I got a few comments and I saw a few tweets. It was like, you know, the Pelicans made all these moves during the offseason. Look where they are. They're not good.
Oh,
what the hell? I'm like, okay, well, they missed Ryan Anderson until he was back for like three games, and then Anthony Davis went down with a broken hand. Like, I don't understand how we get to these. And it, oh, the other thing was like, they haven't beaten a team with a winning record. I'm like, all right, they're still like basically a 500 team. They're 11-12 right now. And with fringe playoff teams, I don't understand why you would, into the season, we would be like, going into the season, we're like, this is a fringe playoff team. Like, they could make the playoffs. And then they have two separate, like, huge injuries to a fringe roster. And then you're like, oh, well, they're clearly, they're not any good. It's like, well, don't you have to take them at face value?
And Tyreek's hurt.
Right. And Tyreek's hurt. Like, I mean, whether you agree with that.
Say what you want about the contract they gave Tyreek, but they want him to have a big role. And when he's not out there, that kind of messes with things.
Right, exactly. It'd be one thing if he's out there and it doesn't work. But if he's not there and they've designed, you know, their rotation around having him in the fold significantly, that matters. I don't know. There was a weird backlash all of a sudden last night after when they were getting killed by the Warriors. I was like, well, that doesn't make any sense to me, because you can't knock a fringe playoff team after you've recognized they're a fringe playoff team because of injuries. Like, I don't know. That doesn't make sense to me, but
whatever. I think they're going to struggle a little bit through the end of the year, and I think in January, February, they're going to go on a sneaky 6 or 7 game win streak, and that's going to be like what ends up getting them in the playoffs. It's like, they're going to win just enough to sneak in.
Yeah, I don't know if I agree with them making the playoffs, but I think they're going to be right there until the end of the season, whether they make it or not.
So, and then Paul Millsap, I wrote a big thing this morning that I just wanted to basically, like, I just had like all these boiling thoughts in my brain and was like, F it. I'm just going to, like, we'll cash out on the SEO. I'm just going to write a thing about how Omer Ashiq for Paul Millsap makes no damn sense. And you could tell that, like, Danny Ferry is somewhere being like, why am I getting calls about this? Like, right. I got him for $9.5 million a year. Why would I possibly take Omer Ashiq and pay him $50 million next year when I have Paul Millsap? Why? Why would I do that?
Sap's kind of good.
And I hate this thing of people being like, well, actually, he doesn't have a poison pill contract. He's only on the books for – I'm like, it does not matter to me what your cap space is, especially if you're trading him to a team with, like, nothing on the roster and lots of cap space anyway. I don't really care, because who wants to spend $15 million on Omer Ashiq?
Right. I mean, and especially – it's not like the Atlanta Hawks have been this freewheeling franchise outside of the Joe Johnson contract. Like, for years, it's been a struggle to get them to approve money with this ownership group, right?
Right.
So, like, saying, yeah, well, it's only this on the cap. Well, they still have to pay him $15 million.
Yeah.
Like, that, getting that approved is not going to be an easy thing, especially when you're giving up Paul Millsap to do it.
Mike Brown said that he will not, that the Cavaliers will not be trading Anderson Varejao for anyone whose name he can't pronounce. And he okay. can't pronounce Omer Sheik. So
that's a little xenophobic. Well, it's weird. It's oddly xenophobic while defending one of your foreign guys.
Right? It's selectively.
Yeah. That would be like calling it reverse xenophobia, which
right.
which when people say reverse racism, it drives me insane. Because to me, reverse racism is just acceptance.
Right.
Like that's
right.
reverse racism, not a different race being racist towards another race. Like that doesn't make sense. So that would be reverse xenophobia, I guess.
I'm overly kind to people based on off their
race. You're a reverse racist. Thank you.
Thank you.
I appreciate that.
Cleveland, I think, is an interesting case, though, because of the Dion Waiters situation, especially with Waiters playing as well as he has. I do want to say this to all the listeners. If you're wondering, here's the deal with Cleveland, because Cleveland fans, they drive me insane, because Cavs fans basically think that their GM would never do something stupid, and their GM is not, like, all these rumors are just made up. And like, here's the deal. I will tell you what's going on. Chris Grant gets involved in almost every trade talk. He is always out there. That dude loves to get on the phone and offer trades. The difference is that I'm trying to think of like what a comparable game is. I can't think of a game in which you're trading assets right now. But he's like that dude in Settlers of Catan. It's like, well, I'll give you a sheep, but you're gonna have to give me 3 wood, a timber and like 15 ore. He wants a ridiculous.
I have no idea what you just said.
Of course you don't.
What the hell are you talking about?
There's this board game that, like, I thought was because I was very skeptical when I was offered it, and then actually when you play it when you're drunk, it's actually ridiculously.
It's like Chutes and Ladders.
Yeah, Zach, it's like Chutes and Ladders, just like that. Let's move on.
Here's the thing: I played Operation the other night. Wildly easy for an adult.
Yeah.
I mean. They say yeah, and I didn't touch the sides once. I went undefeated.
I won a drunken hungry hippos contest once, and it was like the greatest moment of my life. I ran around the
obviously,
floor screaming.
Obviously, the second greatest moment of your life was the birth of your son, and then the third greatest was your marriage.
Yeah,
but the first was a drunken hungry hippos win.
Yeah, I'm standing by the drunken hungry hippos thing, and my family will understand that. So. I'm just saying, Chris Grant wants a ridiculous amount in return for anything that he offers. That's always been his thing.
What is he trying to do? He's trying to get ore?
Yeah, he's trying to get ore.
I don't know. I don't. Is this like a Dungeons and Dragons thing?
No, it's. I don't even know how to explain it. Don't worry about it. But the thing you just need to take away is just that Chris Grant is probably in these calls, but he's probably like, well, I'll give you Dellavedova right now. Right now, I'll give you Dellavedova. Sergei Karasev, take or leave it. Take it.
Is it like Oregon Trail? Because I do remember Dwan Wagner dying of dysentery. So
coming back to this constantly.
I just don't understand what you said.
It's Settlers of Catan.
Like Chris Catan? Mango?
Not quite like that.
Night of the Roxbury? Here's the thing about Night of the Roxbury. I watched it again the other night for, I don't know, the 50th time in my life. It is amazing that they got a full movie that is good and like hilarious. Out of that sketch, have you thought about that? Like, that's an amazing feat. I know you're struggling. I know you're really
good. Is probably a question mark for
several. Oh, good for a comedy. Come on, that is a comedy with 10 to 15 really good laughs.
Is that one more? Is that one more surprising or the Ladies Man?
I would say actually that's more surprising because Ladies Man, you had depth in the sketch with like who the character was. These guys never talked. They were just like
most of Tyler Perry's movies are like if you took, and it's like reverse SNL sketching. Like if you took something that should not be drawn out for 2 hours into a movie,
yeah,
and you actually just started with the 2 hours for a movie.
It's I just feel like it's if you let, I mean it's just if you let Dane Cook write a movie, that's what it's basically any Tyler Perry movie.
You know. I have – there's one moment – there's one Dane Cook moment I like. One.
Okay.
He's talking about being drunk.
Okay.
And he says – like he's talking about being – like throwing up in the bathroom and someone knocking on the door. And he says, you will do anything to get them to go away. and he says, "Please go swallow a knife." For some reason, I find this to be like the funniest idea ever. I used to walk around just being like, "Please go swallow a knife."
I think my favorite moment of his, which is probably my only moment I like of his, was in the movie Waiting, when he drops that steak on the floor and he says, "We almost had to change the 5-second rule to the 10-second rule." I don't know why that's funny to me.
Right.
Sorry, you were trying to talk basketball, and I just want to talk movies right now.
Yeah.
Millsap.
Who would Boston take? That's the other thing. Is like, I'm looking at Boston, and Boston, they're not moving Sullinger.
Right.
Right?
Right.
They're not moving – like, they want to move Jeff Green, which that makes a little bit of sense, I guess, but
– yeah, I mean, I guess if you – like, I would assume you would move Bass as part of the deal. Isn't he expiring? He's got to be close to expiring by now.
Well, the idea is like Ken reported this morning of like the three-way concept, which is basically like Jeff Green goes to
God, Bass has another year?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Jeff Green goes to Cleveland, Bass goes to Houston, and then like Cap Filler and Picks go to Houston.
Okay.
And then she goes to Boston. I don't know. Here's my thing. Why is Danny doing it? Why would Danny do this? Is Danny Ainge so deluded and drained? Has Brad Stevens cast such a magical pall over everyone that he's suddenly like, no, this team can contend?
Well, I think it's –
Is he going to go into the West – is he going to try and make an Eastern Conference Finals run with Jordan Crawford and Omer Asik?
Here's what I think the mindset is we get Rondo back. We're a competitive team, which I think they would be. And on top of that, I think there's this idea that we don't have to be bad to get better, to rebuild. Like, look what Houston did. I think it's a poor attempt to do what Houston did of being competitive while acquiring assets, and trying to build that way. And you're building through free agency rather than the draft, which I get. I don't know that it's the smartest move, but I mean, look at who's defending the paint on that team right now. It's Sullinger, it's Bass, it's Favaroni, it's Olenek. Asik is a huge, I mean, physically and impact wise, a huge upgrade for that team, right? So then so then assuming Rondo is back to himself by next season, you have one of the best defensive point guards in the league, and you have a really good defensive center. That's a pretty good bookend for your defense, right? And then you've got Avery Bradley out there. You acquire a small forward who can score. You acquire a power forward who can score somehow. And now you've got your core, and you're back to challenging the East. I don't know. It depends on who they get, obviously. But I think that's the plan for him, because it was that whole, we don't rebuild, we retool, or we reload, or whatever the hell they do. Whatever Matrix sequel they do. I'm not sure. Like, they evolve. Like,
revolve?
Yeah, they revolve. I don't know what they do, but whatever that mindset is, I think you look at what Daryl Morey did of staying competitive, being an 8th, 9th seed for years while acquiring assets and maintaining flexibility, and from there, that's where you go. Now, I don't agree with that strategy necessarily. It worked for Daryl Morey. I don't know that it – I mean, I just think you've got to be pretty special in terms of how you manage everything, and I don't know that we've seen that kind of restraint from Danny Ainge. Not that he can't do it, not that he's – and I think he's a good GM. I think he's a very good decision maker, a very good talent evaluator. But I just think it takes a different kind of patience that I'm not sure he has.
See, I think he's going more for what he did in 2007. I think he's more trying to get – I think it's like Jared Sullinger is Al Jefferson and Jordan Crawford is what was one of the other guards Minnesota got?
Gerald Green?
Yeah, Gerald Green.
I hate you so much.
And
how dare you?
And that's the deal that they're trying to pull, right? Is they're trying to set themselves up for that kind of a deal.
Yeah, but I mean, Jared is not Al Jefferson.
No,
not. I mean, he's really not.
This is my point.
Yeah. Does that make sense? Like,
it does.
I'm not sure that's the plan, but that's what it looks like. Like, the more I think about it, I think that would be the motivation, because looking at it before the season, it was like, what the hell are you guys doing? Like, gut the team. Tank. Like, get as many D-League players as you can. Go out there and lose games and, you know, put Rondo next to a guy who can finish any alley-oop he throws, you know? Like, that was – I think that's what we all thought the plan should be. And now I kind of see the plan a little a little clearer now, or at least what I think it is. And it makes sense. I don't know. I think that's such a tricky way to try to rebuild, because I think you can easily get stuck into being that, you know, treadmill team we talk about, of you're just running in place, but you're not going anywhere.
I feel like Rondo's going to have the same experience Kobe did when he came back, where he comes in and makes a fantastic pass and like bounces off of somebody's hands, and he's like, oh God, what if I come back? What is happening right now?
Or he goes.
He can talk all he wants about the positive vibe and swaggy and anything that he wants, but when those passes are bouncing off of Robert Sacre's hands, he's going to be like, good God, where am I?
I think there's going to be a moment where Rondo thinks he's trapping a pick and roll with Kelly Olynyk, and he looks over and Kelly Olynyk is just like brushing his hair.
Just like whipping it around.
Yeah, he's just
whip my hair back and
forth. Yeah, he's just got one of the Smith kids just playing in his ear right now, whipping his hair back and forth.
So we were off yesterday because I was sick as a dog. I wanted to talk to you about the New York Knicks, which I know we haven't talked about a lot.
Yeah, I'm a fan.
What happened exactly versus the Wizards?
Well, okay. Bradley Beal drove to the basket on a play that looked like the first 3 minutes of a game, where you're just kind of feeling it out and you're like, I don't really want to give a foul here.
Right.
Like, I felt bad. I think it was Beno Udrich he drove by, right?
Yeah, it was.
And Beno like seemed to kind of be like, all right, I'm shading. Where are you guys? Like, he looked legitimately pissed off that there was no help after Beal had scored. Like, he's like, where have you been? And then
that moment after he scored, when they all stared at each other,
that was great. And then I would say, all right, again, I've never played in the NBA. I'm not a basketball strategist. I'm not a coach. I feel like walking the ball up when you're down one with 5 seconds left and you're going the full length of the court, that's not a great idea.
Not ideal, no.
It's like running for a bus while, I don't know, doing a crab walk. And so if there were like 3 seconds left and that's the shot you have no timeouts and that's the shot you get from Melo, I'm fine with it. There's not much you can do. But you had, I don't know, 5.5 seconds. You had a timeout, right?
Yeah.
And I do like the idea. I like the idea of not calling a timeout, trying to surprise the defense, and just going at them. I think that is underutilized. I think who just had it? Somebody, I saw it on Deadspin, but I don't know where it came from. But somebody just had a fantastic little study and graphic about scoring out of timeouts.
It was regression by Deadspin.
Right. Yeah. Right. There we go. And I don't know. I thought there was a lot of fascinating information. For some teams, I would just say, do not call a timeout. Just go. Yeah. Don't let the defense set up. Like I believe in all of that. I think in the right situation. That could have been that situation. I wouldn't let Washington set up in a half-court defense. Like, I just wouldn't. I would try to catch them off guard. What I wouldn't do is walk the ball up the court and then fire an off-balance 30-footer.
He said this morning that he has reasons for hesitating on that last situation, but he wouldn't reveal what they are.
And then
Woodson comes out and says, that's on me, that was my fault. And they asked Melo, and Melo said, if he says that it was his fault, it's his fault.
What?
Yeah.
I like the idea of, like, I have reasons for that. And like, oh, what are they? He's like, you have to pay me $15.95 to find out.
Like, it's a secret. I just, this team, and I got, how amazing is it that Woodson's still employed?
It does feel a lot like that Seinfeld episode where they were trying to get George to quit. So they kept like locking his office on him and boarding it up, and he sneaks in through the vent and he's like, hey, will you let the boss know that if he needs me, I'll be in my office? Like, I just imagine that's kind of what Mike Woodson feels like right now. Like, they're not firing him. They're not putting out like necessarily like rumors that they're going to fire him. It's just a lot of like, hopefully he just stops showing up. Maybe it's more like Milton from the Office Space. Like, maybe that's what it is. They just keep moving his coaching office downstairs and into the basement. And they keep taking away his goatee brush.
He's in the steam pipe truck distribution venue. I don't know why. Strange. They get Tyson Chandler back tonight. Does that fix everything?
Yeah, why not? It won't fix everything tonight, but long term.
You want to know why not? Because Pablo Prigioni, Raymond Felton, Kenyon Martin, and Amari are out.
Well, Kenyon Martin being out helps. But yeah, and Amari played 5 games in 7 nights. Not heavy minutes, but heavy enough to where his knee swelled up. And they just said, like, in pure Knicks fashion, it's just he's going to be out a while. No timetable. There's never a timetable. It's either day to day or a while.
A while. It's like how network's always talking. Like time is not really a strong concept to the Knicks. It's like right. it's like a theoretical philosophical concept.
As we saw at the end of the game.
Exactly. Time is not linear to the Knicks. How about them Blazers, man?
They're fun. They're so much fun right now. I get to see them tonight. They're in Minneapolis on a second night of a back-to-back, road back-to-back, and I think they're going to destroy the Wolves, and I'm just really excited to see it. I love their offense. I love Damian Lillard right now. I love LaMarcus Aldridge. I want to see them just fire three after three after three. Like, it's one of those games where I don't even really care if the Wolves win. I just want to see them do what they do. And I'm hoping the back-to-back doesn't hurt.
We asked the question, you know, will Andre Iguodala coming back fix the Warriors entirely? The answer is yeah. Yeah, he pretty much fixes everything entirely. They're good.
It helps going against a battered Pelicans team.
But, you know, they were up by so much. Like, the margin doesn't really reveal how many of that game, so.
I think if you have Anthony Davis in there, it's a little bit different, right?
Probably a little bit.
Not that he doesn't fix things, but I don't know. I'd like to see a tougher test first before I'm like, okay, they're good. Like, I'm not panicking about them, but I that game isn't evidence to me.
See, and like, I don't mean to be mean, and like, I'm honestly I hope it doesn't happen. But Pau Gasol's had like 3 back-to-back really good games since the whole him and D'Antoni blow up.
Yes.
Can I put money on him getting injured?
Come on.
You know it's coming.
Oh, just to get back to the Knicks real quick.
Yeah.
What if they hit the reset button on their season a couple of times? You just reminded me of what the Lakers did last year. The Knicks have not reset the season yet once.
Our season starts. That's what they should do. Is Tyson Chandler.
Tyson's
like,
back.
They should put out like a promo, like with Chandler, like Chandler's jersey blowing in the wind.
And don't mind the 7-17 record.
Only instead of rain, it's like Spike Lee pissing on the jersey, like.
It's just a bunch of delivery trucks in the meatpacking district just running over it constantly.
Running over it. Our season begins tonight. The 0-0 Knicks take on.
And they just, as they show like Woody Allen try to get into the VIP section, being denied.
I'm mad I got sick because I missed the Oklahoma City show last night.
Oh, that was good. That was fun.
So, you want to do games?
Yeah, let's do games.
I went 4-1 last night. I'm feeling pretty good.
Okay, back on track.
Yeah, I'm back up to, 16 games? Yeah, 16 games over 500. Was on a little bit of a fall there. You, my friend, are now 67, 61, and 3.
Over.
5-3 the other night.
Still over. I went 5-3? I thought I got killed.
On Monday you went 4-4.
Okay.
You're 71-67-3. I apologize.
Okay.
And but yeah, actually you had a huge comeback. You went 0-3 early.
Yeah.
Then you hit Miami versus Utah. You hit Washington versus New York.
Right.
You hit Brooklyn killing Philadelphia.
Right.
And you hit Orlando too. You took Orlando versus the Bulls, which is cool.
Yeah, because the Bulls signed DJ Augustine, so they're in tank mode.
All right.
Well, kind of a good slate tonight.
I'm very excited. This is pretty good. I mean, there's like 100 games, which is fun that I have to work. But
grades will be fun.
Right. The Utah Jazz are in Orlando. The Magic are favored by 4.
I like this. I like Orlando.
Okay, me too. I think
it's a good line. I like what Utah's done lately, but Orlando at home, healthy, I'll take them.
Vucevic, and you got Trey Burke going against a veteran point guard, Jameer Nelson. The Magic have more depth.
Yeah.
I think Vucevic and Tobias Harris really just makes a huge difference for Orlando. Andrew Nicholson should be able to tear up the interior. I like Orlando here pretty strong.
I know, as they are wont to do, Cavs fans are trying to take down every player they haven't drafted in the last couple of years, and Victor Oladipo has been the guy lately. They're like, well, he's not actually that good. I like the way he's playing lately. I think he's getting a good feel for it. Playing him as a point guard at times is something that is not going to be a position for him long term, but it develops skills in a situation where there's no pressure to be good at it. And I don't know, I've the last like 5-6 games, I've loved the way he's attacking. I'm a fan.
I'm going to be very happy when they move him. I think it's going to be like one of those things with KD where they move him from the shooting guard to the small forward, and it's like, oh, that's right. Okay, yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah.
My game of the night, Miami Heat at home. LeBron is a game-time decision, missed shoot around with the ankle. Frank Vogel is questionable tonight with an illness. The Heat are favored by 3.5 right now. Apparently Vegas thinks that LeBron's playing.
Frank Vogel is questionable?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, he's sick.
Huh.
Which means he's got to be pretty damn sick.
Maybe he was hanging out with Rick Ross last night.
Oh. Or Beasley. Maybe he's got a brachial infection from the sticky icky.
Maybe. If the Heat are favored, they definitely think LeBron's playing. I think LeBron's playing too. Chris Bosh joked about it yesterday, saying he's fooling all you guys. I'll take the Heat at home. 3.5 is a lot,
I think revenge game at home.
Yeah, I think even if it's a close game, you get into a free throw situation to stop the clock at the end, right? Like I think you can push it to 4 or 5 and feel good about that. So I'll take the Heat.
Yeah. Bobcats are on the road on a back to back. They're at Toronto. Toronto's favored by 6.5.
Ooh, that's a lot of points.
It is a lot of points.
No, give me the Bobs.
I gotta look this up real quick. The Bobcats as a road underdog. Bobcats as a road underdog are 8-1. They're 8-1-1.
Look at that. Yeah, give me the Bobs.
Like, Toronto was played well after the Rudy Gay trade, but there's a bounce that happens after that trade. I think they come back to earth.
Yeah, as you called it. Charlotte's not back to back. As you called it the other day, the dead cat bounce.
Charlotte's tough. This one I thought was kind of weird. The Pistons open as a point favorite. It's now a pick'em. Pistons are in Boston. It's a pick'em.
What?
Detroit, I believe, is on a back-to-back. Or is Boston? One of these teams is on a back-to-back.
Well, Boston played Monday, so they would not be.
That's what you think.
I don't think they had a back-to-back-to-back.
Yeah, but... neither team's on a back-to-back. My apologies.
I got to go with the Pistons there. On a pick'em?
Ooh. Really?
Yeah, on a pick'em? Well, I just think they're a better team. Even on the road. Yeah, I'll go Pistons. That's a weird line. Something's up.
Boston's winning this game. Also, here's the other reason. Can Josh Smith have back-to-back good games?
No, but they've won with him having bad games before.
Atlanta at home is favored by 7 over the Kings who are on a back-to-back.
So Atlanta, after they trade for Omer Sheik today... I don't like the Kings on the road yet.
Yeah, me neither.
I'll go Hawks, but I don't feel great about that. That's quite a few points, but I'll go the Hawks there.
I've already accepted that if I pick the Hawks, they lose. If I go against them, they win. Like it, I just I chalk up every Hawks game as a loss.
Oh wait, then let me go opposite of what you're going.
You might want to. I'm serious. You might want to consider it.
Yeah, change me to the Kings. We'll see how this experiment goes.
It's been pretty consistent. The Nets are favored by 5 at home versus the Wizards.
I'm buying into these Nets right now, little by little.
Me too.
Yeah, I'll go Nets.
It's only 5. Man, that's free throws. Like,
yeah.
I like Brooklyn there. Joe Johnson's been in fuego. He was ridiculous on Monday.
Oh, he's absurd. Oh, I wish he wasn't paid so much.
We appreciate him, and yeah, not everyone didn't have to hate him.
We'd have such a better appreciation for him. I just think he's criminally underrated because he's overpaid.
It's true. Milwaukee is hosting the New York Knicks tonight. I can't believe this. The Knicks are favored by 3.
Tyson back.
Come on. 3.
Baino and Tim Hardaway Jr. as the points?
Yeah, let's see. Their lineup is going to be Baino, THJ, Shumpert, Melo, and Tyson. They're moving Bargnani back to the bench.
All right. We've got a situation here with the Knicks. I know there are contracts involved. I know there are guaranteed contracts involved. There's so many injuries right now. My question is this, and don't worry. I'm going to edit this out to where it's okay. What the does Ricky Davis have to do to get a contract offer here? He plays for their D-League team. How would he not fit into this?
Well, here's the question. If you're going to pay Chris Smith a guaranteed deal,
Why wouldn't
you
have
hit
Ricky
rock
Davis?
Bottom.
I think you can convince J.R. Smith that he's related to Ricky Davis. That would not be hard to prove. Come on. This is ridiculous.
So Bucks plus three.
No, give me that. I believe in Tyson. No, that's
what?
Not. No, it's just I don't believe in the Bucks. Even at home, even against this awful, battered Knicks team. Yeah, why not?
Let's Beto go. Udry, THJ. Yeah, I'm
this is going to be, if you like field goal percentage, do not watch this game.
Do not watch this game.
It's going to be awful.
Over under, let's see, over under 86% combined.
Oh, I thought you were going to say combined points for the two teams. 86 combined field goal percentage?
Yeah.
Under. I don't think either team's cracking 40.
All right, you're going to see this one. I'm really shocked at this line. I'm really shocked. Guess the line for Portland, Minnesota.
Back-to-back for Portland, I would say Portland by 3.5.
Wolves by 2.
No. Bet your entire life savings on the Blazers tonight, covering a 2-point, getting 2 points.
I was like, Portland's getting, like, really? Y'all haven't learned? Like,
I mean, maybe Kevin Martin's playing tonight. Maybe he is, but Jesus. I trust me, I want the Wolves to win. This would be a huge win for them. This would make the fan base feel a lot better if they beat this 22-4 Blazers team.
Yeah, your fan base is getting a little weird, isn't it?
They're just, that's what how they are. I've learned to accept this.
You're like Moses, and then like they're like in the Sodom, and they're like down in the valley worshiping the golden calf, and the golden calf is like misery.
Yeah. Oh my God. I don't even know. We don't want to spend 20 minutes talking about this, so we should just avoid it. There's no way the Blazers should not be favored here. They're getting 2 points?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I want the Wolves to win this game. They should not be favored. Did Damian Lillard get malaria?
I don't know. I can't figure it out. Maybe that's what will happen. It'll come out pregame. Somebody's hurt.
Like, yeah. Aldridge hurt something, right? His hand, maybe?
yeah. X-rays on his hand. They were negative.
Negative? So, oh, God. That's the only thing I can think of. He's not playing tonight.
Yeah. And if he's not playing and they're still at 2?
Yeah. Jesus.
It's kind of concerning.
It's true.
I have nothing but resigned sadness about Memphis right now.
Just that was not a good one the other night.
Like the fan base is up in arms. Everyone's blaming the new regime. And I'm just like, it's, you know, they're that team this year. There's a team every year that gets hit with injuries, and it's Memphis.
Yeah. Last year was Minnesota.
The Dallas Mavericks are 10-point favorites against the Memphis Grizzlies at home, and I didn't even have to think about this one.
10? Yeah, that's... Eesh. Marc Gasol doesn't need his crutches anymore. That's good.
Hooray!
Can we get him a Rascal scooter to rotate on
defense?
He is
going back in January, by the way. Like, I'm convinced. Everyone was like, no, he's going to be out till March. I was like, no, he'll be back in January.
No, he'll be back in January. Because he, like, tore his abdomen last year, maybe the year before, right? And he was supposed to be
last
out,
year.
Like...
Played yeah. through it. So just was like, no, I'm
yeah,
good.
It was like, oh, he's going to be gone for weeks. He's like, eh, I'm fine. I'll go out there.
Yeah.
And he was good. Like, yeah, I don't think that's going to keep him out. Yeah, I would go Dallas here.
The San Antonio Spurs are without Tony Parker.
Okay.
On the road in Phoenix.
Ooh.
The Suns are getting 2.5. Spurs are favored by 2.5.
Ooh.
Uh-huh.
Ooh, this is...
Yeah.
Oh, that's a temptress. That's a vixen of a line.
They are begging me to take Phoenix, and I did.
That's a meet me in the hotel kind of line. Here's my room number. We'll get room service. I got these chocolate covered strawberries for you.
I'm gonna put on a Tyler Perry movie. Cuddle.
Yeah, I want Phoenix here.
Yeah, Phoenix is 4-1 as a home underdog this season.
I'm sure I'll regret it, but that's I like that. Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah, sorry, not taking Patty Mills versus Goran Dragic and Eric Bledsoe. Sorry. Sorry, guys. Forgive me. The Houston Rockets, this is another one that you want to stay away from just because of the injuries. Harden when to shoot around is a game time decision. I think Lynn's out.
Lynn is out, yeah.
Lynn's out. Rockets are favored by 7 over the Bulls.
Rockets by 7?
I'm gonna bet Omer Sheik's not playing.
Right.
Just shot in the dark.
If he played right now in a Bulls Rockets game, and his what would his revenge game be? Like hurting the Rockets? Would he have revenge against the Bulls? I don't know how that would work. How do you hurt both teams? Would he set up like a demolition of the building while both teams are in it?
You injure yourself while injuring Noah. That's how you do it.
Oh, that's a good plan. Well, no, you'd have to crash into both Dwight and Noah's knees at the same time.
Exactly.
I'll go Houston. I'm assuming if it's that big of a line, James Harden will play. Yeah. So I'll go Houston.
The Bulls are a hot mess right now.
That's an ESPN game?
Yeah.
I mean, I understand how hard, like, they plan this stuff out. It is not easy to change venues of a telecast. It's just not that simple. I wish they had some flexibility with these Bulls games this year.
I wish they, I mean, how great would it be to get Suns Spurs?
Yeah. That's
like most late games are bad, but that one should go.
Yeah, that's a shame.
And finally, the Clippers are 10.5 point favorites versus the beat to crap New Orleans Pelicans at home.
Ooh. Ooh, ooh, ooh. They're on a second night of a back to back.
West Coast. It was, and this is the third game of the West Coast road trip. So,
ooh.
Denver, Golden State, Clippers.
Yeah. God, they still have to go to Portland.
Yeah.
Golden State, down to LA, back up to Portland, back down to Sacramento.
Yeah.
What an awful schedule.
Yeah, it's and Monty made the critical mistake the other day. He said, "Well, we're gonna find out a lot about our team." Never say that.
Yeah.
Never say that on a road trip, because the answer is always you find out they suck.
Right.
Yeah, like always the answer.
God, it just would have made so much more sense to go Denver, Portland, Golden State, Sacramento, LA. God, that sucks. And then they go home for Denver and then to Houston. Jesus.
Yeah.
Oh, and then.
Bad.
No, it gets even worse. Because then they go home for Portland, then to Minnesota, to Boston, to Indiana, to Miami. Good God.
Yeah, it's going to be bad until January.
Oh, you poor Pellies.
Yeah, it's going to be bad until January.
Yeah, I'm just going to. I don't even remember what the line is, but I'll take the Clippers just because I feel so bad.
10.5, it's just it's 10 and a half. I think it's too much. Like I would take 13.
Yeah.
Like, I would give 13.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Oh, that's good God. That's an awful schedule.
Yep. The only thing you can like if you're a Pelicans fan, the only thing you can possibly pray for is an Eric Gordon revenge game. That's all you're banking on.
Yeah.
And even he, like, without Reek, they can't play him heavy minutes. Like William said the other day, he's like, I can't play these guys for 40 minutes a night. I gotta think of the whole season. Like, they know where they're at.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, that's
all right, man. Well, we'll be back to. Well, I'll try to make time tomorrow to catch up with you, and we can go over wherever Sheik ends up.
Yeah. No, I'll have the latest Omer Sheik trade rumors that aren't going to happen and don't matter ready for us to talk about. So I'm excited. Thanks, buddy.